This is Saturday with Claire Byrne. The Minister for Health's draft universal healthcare plan is to be discussed by a cabinet subcommittee next week. And the basis of the plan is that everyone in the country will have to have health insurance. The state will pay the bill for those who can't afford it, subsidise those who have more disposable income, but most will have to pay for a basic healthcare plan out of their own pocket. In exchange for compulsory insurance, it'll be free to access services from GP visits to medications. And our panel has been joined now by Dermot Good, who's health analyst with Corn Market Financial Services, to tell us whether this will work or not. Dermot, have you got the answer?
Good afternoon, Claire. Let me put it like this: it has to work because the current system that we have at the moment is dysfunctional. It's not fit for purpose anymore. So at one level, I'm delighted that the debate has eventually started in terms of this universal health insurance model. But I think we need to be very, very careful because what the steps we have to take, and I suppose the journey that we're now going to embark on to get to universal health insurance, represents a monumental change or monumental shift from where we currently are. I mean, if you look at the Dutch model, they were 4 to 5 years preparing for universal health insurance. And even now, 7 years later, the first 4 years were pretty much taken up with all the operational challenges and so on. It's only now, 7 years later, they're beginning to derive some of the savings that they expected. So, for example, this year in Holland, they expect that the cost of the basic cover will reduce by between 8 and 10%. But it's taken 7 years to get there. In fact, speaking to one of the largest insurers over there, they said that they were doing it again. Looking back on, I suppose, the lessons that they've learned, they could probably achieve in 4 years what took 7 years. But I think the real lesson for us is that, switching off what we have and moving to this fantastic model where we'll have equal access for everybody and no waiting lists and so on. And that's exactly what they have in the Dutch model. But the challenges to get there are just huge.
We know that some have already said, and we heard that a message came from the Department of Public Expenditure, that this is going to cost an absolute fortune. And it was just strange that was coming from a Labour minister's portfolio and a Fine Gael minister was suggesting this. But is the cost, I mean, what have we learned from the Dutch and German model? This, I understand, will be based on a hybrid of both. What have we learned in terms of the initial outlay? I mean, is it going to cost that rumoured 5 billion on top of what we already spent?
Well, I think, Claire, we need to be careful here, right? Because it depends on a number of factors. For example, and it's funny, the more we started comparing ourselves to the Dutch model, now I believe we're looking at the German model as well. And I assume if I start looking at the German model, we'll throw somebody else's model into it just to distract us. But if you take the Dutch model, we need to be very careful with these comparisons because they have an ageing population. Okay, so they're, let's just say, a completely different demographic, number one. Their birth rate, ours is the highest in Europe, theirs is potentially falling. Okay, so also because you have a higher age profile, obviously the claims are higher. The other thing too as well, yes, it is a more expensive system, but you know, it's a bit like we're potentially driving a Ford Focus now. We're looking at potentially driving a Merc. Okay, so we're not comparing like with like. I mean, they have, when they move to this universal model, everybody has access to healthcare services. There are no waiting lists whatsoever. So we have about 58,000 people on some type of waiting list at the moment as of last September. So, you know, we have to be very, very careful in terms of drawing those types of comparisons. I think what needs to happen is that once we're very, very clear in terms of the basket of services, so once we set out in clear terms
what you'll get for your
exactly,
policy,
then what we can do is we can cost that. So, for example, in Holland now on the basic cover, all GP is free. Okay. In fact, dental services for children are included. In fact, you don't even pay for your children under 18. So that's all included in the basic package.
What
so
about your medications and your
prescriptions are all included as well. Now, they have done deals with pharmacies, so which is what we really don't have. So, for example, if you go into your pharmacist in Holland and you need a certain type of medication, well, if it's on the approved list, that's included. If you want to go for a different type of medication, well, you'll pay a top-up fee.
So generics, perhaps, maybe, as opposed
exactly
to branded goods. And if you need a hip replacement, orthopaedic services, that's
sort of
thing.
All covered. And what you have is, like, their basic cover is, like, if you take, for example, the typical VHI Plan B, okay, which is probably the type of cover most people would relate to here. That type of cover here right now costs, like Plan B options, is nearly €2,300 per adult. Okay, a very expensive cover. Does not include GPs, does not include, let's just say, your prescriptions. So we need to be, like, I mean, when I hear people talking about the cost of their cover, it is expensive, but you get what you pay for. I mean, we pay PRSI, which is, 4.75%. It does nothing for us in terms of healthcare costs. Mm-hmm. So if we redirected some of our existing spend into healthcare, now you're looking at a fundamentally different model. Like, for example, in Holland, I think 12.5% of the first 50,000 of your salary, the average salary is about 35,000. 12.5% of your salary is deducted, taxation goes directly to fund long-term care, mental health care and childcare. So, OK, I don't like maybe paying that, but I know it's funding my healthcare. In terms of the actual cost the consumer pays to the insurance companies, they pay on average €100 per month for that, which is, let's just say, €1,200. Some people listening to your show now are paying double and triple that and they don't get half the cover.
And some people don't have €100 a month to spare, not even close to that. So this is the big problem, isn't it? I mean, what's the level of health insurance, or what percentage of the population have health insurance policies at the moment?
Well, it was 52% in 2008 at the height of the boom, which once again, even just taking that, at the height of the boom, 48% of the population either couldn't afford or just didn't believe in it. Mm-hmm. It's now down to 45%. And I can tell you there'll be survey results we'll be releasing probably on Monday and Tuesday, which will show that if costs keep increasing by 15 to 20% on average, which is exactly what's happening, a further 11% of the population are going to cancel their cover. So the big question that I have, and as I say, I welcome the debate on universal health insurance. We're starting with a blank page at the moment. So I have a fear, and one fear that I have is that if we start kicking it and knocking it already, then we're going to kill it before it even starts. And the problem we now have, let's just say, with our population is that they're questioning the need for healthcare cover at all because of the rising costs. Mm-hmm. So we need to be very, very careful. We need to get consumer buy-in here, because I can tell you universal health insurance, if it's designed properly, it works, it delivers.
Okay.
But the question is, it has to be designed properly.
A quick word from the rest of our panel on this. Simon, Fianna Fáil, and I don't want to do what Dermot said we shouldn't do, which is kick this plan before it gets off the ground. But people will feel that through their taxes, they're already paying for healthcare, and this is just going to be another tax. And that's been the argument which is put forward by Billy Kelleher, the health spokesperson. What do you say to that?
And we're already paying massively for healthcare in this country, and during the years of economic boom we saw health spend roughly double in this country, and yet we still saw the situation where two people could turn up at the hospital, both in the need for a colonoscopy to maybe try and detect the early stages of bowel cancer, and one person had private health insurance and was rushed in and seen in a couple of weeks, and others, and we read of tragic cases like Susie Long, were deprived that access for a period of time. This is the idea of ending ultimately the two-tier system and treating everyone equal at the point. Dermot, who is obviously an expert in this area, points out there's massive challenges, and that's why we committed to doing this before the election. It's in the programme for government, but we were very clear on all occasions it won't be done by the next election. This is something that's going to take a couple of terms, and that's why the publication of a white paper sets out the policy objective of government, but says, as Dermot says, let's talk about it, let's bring in people, let's engage. And I think if we do this properly, okay, it is radical, but it could really make a great difference.
All right, John, you've about 20 seconds to tell me whether you think this is going to work or not.
I think what Dermot has outlined is a great idea, but to get there is the big problem. And in Ireland, when we do these things, we create a huge amount of consultants' reports that lead us nowhere, and we get bogged down in the middle of it. Okay. But health insurance is something that is going through the roof. We need to change the system. And I would like, as I said, when Mary Harney was minister, to work with everyone to get there.
OK, we've got to leave it there. Thank you all very much indeed to John McGuinness, Simon Harris, Dermot MacDonald and Dermot Good. Thank you for coming in to join us at the end. And Mick Wallace, who was also with us on the phone.